It is fantastic to be here, and it's such a privilege just to come together, just to worship the living God, but also to spend time in His Word, which is the living Word, which is Jesus, and to have expectation, not only to hear what's on His heart, but also to come and just release praises unto Him, and to understand that it's not just contained in this building where we meet, but it's actually impacting every one of you that's under my voice today because of the authority of it, and everyone, and even extend our faith that it will impact this community as we speak it into their living rooms. So I just felt I must come and share just the journey that the Holy Spirit has been taking me on this year. And my testimony, it's interesting, the word testimony, I read it the other day. One of the meanings that people don't understand is if you look at the root word, it actually says it will happen again. So as we come and as we share our testimony in that same way, we're actually speaking and saying this will happen again. If I come and testify of my healing that I received, as I testify, as I share what the Lord has done for me, I'm actually releasing with that the authority in Christ to say that this healing will take place again. So I trust that you'll be encouraged by my testimonies, but ultimately that you have your expectation in the word of the Lord, because that is what truly changes us. You can be encouraged by what I share, by my experience, but ultimately the conviction and the change and the life is imparted through God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can surrender ourselves unto you. Father, we declare it's with the expectation that we've entered into this place today. We welcome you. Thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. And as we just spend time in your word now, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one that will point out to each one of us what you want to show us today, what you want to impart to us today. Father, and I pray that we will come and unburden ourselves here. Lord, I pray that we will move away and step away from things that's actually distracting us from seeing you in your fullness, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, it's been going rather, I'm Nurse Betsy, it's my other name. I'm busy with chicken pox in my house. So Emma got it first, and now the oldest sister, Kari, she's got it, and I'm like, just Liam, you know. When is it going to be your turn? But it's funny, the other day my oldest, Kari, she said, "Oh, I feel like a chicken that's not been boiled." She was actually cold. But it's quite funny how, you know, she's taking this chicken thing. So I love kids. I love how they are just innocent in the way that they just observe life. And there's so much that I'm learning as I've started this journey since becoming a mother. And there's two things where I've grown in my understanding. The first one is just a better understanding of being the daughter in the Lord's house. I can just come as I am. If I just look at my own kids, they can just come in. And that's the one thing that I started understanding better. And then the second thing that I'm being challenged with, specifically now as my kids get older, is to actually be practical in living my faith, in my walk with God. I mean, I was in denial when they were younger, you know, when I thought I could get away with not doing it. But now that in that time where they question everything, they ask you, why do you do it? Or why do you say one thing and you do another thing? So constantly I'm like, Lord, thank you that I can ask you for wisdom, because I truly need it on a daily basis where I become so aware of my shortcomings and where I'm challenged with their differences of personality. But I trust as I share with you today that you'll understand these two things. The fact that you've been created to be a son and a daughter in the household of God, and that it will be with the freedom that you enter into His presence. And the second thing, I really trust that there will be practical things that will stand out for you that you will take away from today, and you will actually, that each one of us will actually start applying it in our work daily. I don't know, we have any finance guys in the room. I keep thinking about investments. Okay, but a lot of you know investments. I've just become aware of, we pour our lives out into things, into activities, into books, into whatever, and with a specific purpose, that I just keep hearing the Holy Spirit saying, you've come into this world with nothing, and you will go out of this, you will leave this world with nothing. And there's been a subtle shift in my living as to moving from what is temporal to that which is eternal. And I don't know if those of you that's had the pleasure, I've got a little secret garden at the back of my house. Now, it's actually a part of my neighbor's garden. And what I'm going to be sharing about today is basically what I've been realizing as I spend time in that place. And I trust that it will lead home. Now, I love God's heart. He says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4, for such is good and right and pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the truth. And that is the bottom line. For us to understand the significance of having a relationship with the living God, that is where we can put all our eggs into one basket. Investment guys will tell you, don't do that, spread it all over, be wise. Listen, there's our greatest possession, that which is the most value in our lives, is the relationship that we have with the living God. And I love how it just says, but God wishes all men to be saved, to perceive, to recognize, discern and know precisely and correctly the truth. And not only is that it's his heart for me and you, but that is his heart for every person in your area of influence, whether it's your family, whether it's your colleagues, whether it's your neighbors. And yes, I trust that we'll leave this place, even if you remember that one thing. The most valuable thing in this life is the relationship that we can have with the living God. The fact that you are a son and a daughter and you can access freely, and that you can come as you are. Okay, let's move to observations in my garden. Now let me just give you a bit of background. First of all, I had a little greenhouse in the corner of my garden. I just started pottering around, you know, planting some seed, making some activities for the kids. And then we started talking, and he asked me whether I'm ever going to be making vegetable patch in my own garden. And I told him, no, we'll just stick to this little greenhouse, because I actually don't want to give up more space for my own garden. I mean, I felt that is sufficient. And then he just told me, okay, these are like a part of his garden that he never uses. Would I be interested? And of course, I'm like, yes, I would be interested. So he did two things. He basically gave me permission to use his site, and the site is bigger than my own garden, so it's incredible. And he also gave me access. He literally checked his fence, made a hole in it, put a gate in there, and I've actually got access from my garden. So that's the two things that he gave for me. Now, this in London, you know, or in my experience of living here, the space is quite precious. And the fact that I all of a sudden had double the volume that I could access, there was just such an understanding. One, this is a free gift due to what this other man has done for me, so I must use it as much as possible. It's a current agreement. I mean, he can change his mind at any time and say, okay, that was great now, but it stops and I remove the gate. And we on good terms. I'm not sure that's, you know, his heart to do that. But I just had such understanding of, yes, God has made a way for us through his son, Jesus Christ. We have access into his presence. Okay, so he's not only restored the fact that we can enter into his presence, he's also made a way for us through Christ to enter in. And what I just realized is my initial motivation wasn't, yes, I must grow veg, you know, I must make the most of it. It was just, woohoo, let's go and use this space, you know. It was just my motivation wasn't to go and meet with God or to, you know, to use this space as much as I could, you know, and bring out the, you know, it's basically get the most benefit from it. It was just more space, you know. And then as I just entered in daily, I started understanding the significance of this entering in. Okay. Now, I love the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 11 to 16. It says, "Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience. For the Word of God speaks, it's alive and full of power." Verse 13, "And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eye of him with whom we have to do." Verse 16, "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in good time for every need." Now verse 13, Hebrews 4, verse 13, I want you to take note of that. I felt so strongly on my heart that we've got our good days, we've got our bad days, you know. We get influenced by life. And the Lord actually started teaching me there, for instance, me and this space thing. I grew up on a farm, just to give you some context, so I couldn't see our neighbor. I mean, I always tell Johnny, I actually don't know, but seeing somebody next to me, it's just my frame of reference. There's just nothing, and I love it. It just feels as if I can breathe. But I actually found myself thinking, oh, if I only had a bit more space, the things that I can do, you know? And you find that, if only I had this and that. And the one day, I just felt, as I was busy in the garden, the Lord said, you know what, it's not about the space. It's if only I had a bit of more of you, God. If only I had a bit more of understanding of who you are, of what you have already prepared for me, so that I can just walk in that. The space is besides the point. It's that understanding who God is and bringing us back to his own relationship. And verse 13, I really want to point out, it just felt to me as I was preparing, there's some of us, whether it's the whole time or at certain times, it's as if you're feeling, God doesn't know me, God doesn't care, he actually has given up on me, he doesn't love me, anything relating to God, and that is completely unaware of you. Now, I just wanted to say today, that is not the truth, it is a lie. It says, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. Okay, now what I started doing, I mean, my life is pretty much the same. I still have three kids, my husband, you know, all the same things that I need to take care of, but it's amazing just as we change our perspective of how we do life, it's got a massive impact. And it showed me the misconceptions that I have about God or about life that impacts how I experience him, how I receive his word or not receive his word. And therefore, the whole time, I'm probably going to bore you to death, but he just took me back to my relationship with you is where it starts and where life lies. And from that place, life will happen. And that is just what it keeps referring me back to. If you actually focus on me, on who I am, and glory in that, from that place, through my Holy Spirit, you will start understanding how you can walk in Christ, how you can be seated in Christ, how you can walk worthy of that which I, God, have called you to. Okay? The last thing that I just want to say about the actual space, what I realized as I was accessing it daily, there's no distractions there. My neighbor's garden is cut in half with quite a big hedge, so I don't even see his home. So if I'm in that space and the tree's in summer when everything's got all its leaves, you literally, it's as if you're just in an enclosed space. And I usually work with I look back to my house when I work. Now, if I look around, there's no other building that I can see. And I just became aware of that being an uninterrupted space. And it's amazing. Listen, I couldn't be quick. You know, yesterday I was like, right, my motivation is just to get away from my kids because I'm going crazy, you know, or whatever. But going into the uninterrupted space is essential because, you know what, my kids, my washing, my husband, it stayed on the other side of the gate. And I could actually hear from the Lord, where if I'm standing there trying to, you know, keep all the children under control and, you know, do this, do that, oh my heck, just too much noise, you know. So it's essential for us to daily create that uninterrupted space. Now, I know it's different for each one of us. Some of us got 6 kids, you know. Some of us has got no kids. Some of us has got a very high-level job. Some of us has got no job. There's different things that's actually, you know, part of our lives. But none of us is exempt of the fact that we have a desperate need for the living God daily. It's we deceive if we think we can actually operate without Him. And when I actually started entering into this little garden, I was at a space, or at a time in my life, I was so busy with my kids and just trying to like, okay, you can't use these little 3 light, let's do this. I didn't enter into with God daily, and I could, the frustration, the confusion, fear, oh my goodness, it just became more and louder in my head. And you actually come to a point where you lose hope, or you just think, what is life about? And what I love is God came and showed me. Often people question, how does the Lord speak to me? Or what is His will for my life? I tell you what just amazed me about God is the only thing that I was faithful in is to end in daily. And my motivation initially wasn't even to meet with Him. But as I entered into that place where I didn't have distraction, I actually started discerning what He was showing me. And I would actually just not, oh, you know, can this fear just leave me now or whatever. I would just realize it's wrong, you know, or I just had understanding of that and just knew, you know, how to relate to it. I always tell people it's one thing to register a fear or to experience something, but it's what determines the outcome is what we do with that thought. Okay? So don't think, oh no, you know, I shouldn't fear because I am in Christ. You know, register. If you think now, what do you fear? I didn't just ask yourself, what is coming up in your mind? What are you fearing? And I want you to write it down. It's interactive this morning. Yeah. I want you to specifically write it down because we must act. Okay, and just, even if it's just one thing, I just want you to make a list of that. And what I realized and what I want to encourage you with this morning is start studying in the Word of the Lord. Say if it's fear of lack. Start studying the Word and asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me that you are the provider of my life. And start searching Scripture for the counter, for what God actually says about that thing. Okay? The one thing that I realized, okay, as I said, my initial motivation wasn't to meet with God. It was definitely not being spiritual. It was just like, oh, someone breathing space. So as I entered in, my initial motivation was just to go and spend time in the garden. And as I became clear about this understanding of just God and His presence there and His presence in our lives daily, I actually, at the little gate, if you open it up, I put up a little wooden sign that I just painted. And it says, Solidaritas Gloria, you know, all glory to God. And literally, I did that specifically so that every time I enter in, I just say, Lord, I give you all the glory. Not just for this God, and just for who you are, for my life. And I would just start praising Him and focusing specifically on Him and His character. And the reason I did that, I was actually reminded about when I was on Tartrack, which was a cycling journey around the borders of South Africa. I remember there I was very faithful eating daily, you know, entering in. And I actually started doing it as I opened my eyes in the morning. I would just say, Lord, all glory to you. Thank you for this new day. It's with thanksgiving and praise that I enter into this day. And I want to encourage you to go and daily. As you open your eyes, just say, Lord, I give you all the glory. And I'm entering into this day just with such an expectation, with such a gladness, because I know you've gone ahead of me. I know you are with me. And, you know, let's do this. It actually just, it changed the tone of the day completely. Now, the Lord just reminded me of two things. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says the following. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Now, just the two things. Basics. We are focusing on our relationship with God. That is the key. And from that place, I really believe through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we'll become wise in how we live, how we walk this life that we are as we passing through on earth. There's two things where we must fiercely guard ourselves. Do we actually believe that God is alive? Do we believe that God is who he says he is? That's the one thing, because as you enter in, we must believe that this is the living God that we are dealing with. And then secondly, do I have that expectation, Lord, as I come to you, that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you? Okay? So those two things are really important. And there's in so many places in Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, faithful is he who is calling you, and utterly trustworthy, and he will also do it that which he has called you to. So again, if you, as we wrote down the fears that we have, if you know, like prayer, when you pray, when are you more surprised? When God answers your prayers or when he doesn't? I realized I was at a space where I would be more surprised if he actually answered. And that's shocking. That's the wrong way around. You know, prayer, I believe the Lord wants to open our minds and open our understanding of him, of how we do life with him. I realize in my own life, I get stuck at stages. For instance, quiet time. No, I've not had quiet time. Oh, and now I'm being so hard on myself because I've not had quiet time, you know. And it becomes this thing in your life. But it's a continual relationship. It's a continual walk that we have with God. And I remember I used to actually be very aware when I was a mother with young kids, like, Lord, I'm not putting in the time that I used to, or, you know, I can't come to you as I used to. And he's like, you know what? When you're standing there and you're, you know, you're doing the dishes or doing the seventh, you know, load of washing or whatever, that's a bit over in that exaggerating, but when you're just busy with your chores in the house, I'm there. You know, as you enter in with praise, you enter into my presence and just have relationship with me, you know, praise communication between me and you. And I really trust just for a restoration where, and doubt and unbelief, it comes in just for various reasons. I mean, don't be hard on yourself. For instance, in my life, I remember, you know, I can have the faith for you, anything, just name your prayer need, Pete, I'll pray for it, you know, and I have faith for it because I understand, you know, the Lord is at your side, or, you know, on our side. But then I look at my own life, and there's certain things where I actually stop praying because I unbelief just entered in. And I don't even pray about it anymore because I don't know, I don't believe that God can actually come and meet you in that place. And I want to encourage you, if you realize there are certain things in your life that you've actually just put it aside because unbelief has actually entered in, my heart is that God will come and restore the trust in Him. Because the beauty of it is everything works because He basically made covenant with Himself. The promise is Christ represented us because He was the only one that could effectively represent us so that we can have this life. It's not what lies with us is do we actually accept that and put our faith in what Christ has done. It's not whether I can make it happen or not. And often we beat ourselves up because, oh, you know, again, I've not made it. But our focus is wrong. And I trust as you just enter in daily, giving God the glory, that that shift would come where you understand, Lord, okay, it's about you. It's about what you have done for me. And therefore I live. Okay? Now, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. Last week we did it with the kids, and I want to encourage you to do it. Coming back to the quiet time as well, the Lord is, I want to encourage you to approach Him in new ways every day. Don't, often we creatures of habit. So, you know, you like to read your word or to do this or to do that. But I want to encourage you, just spice it up a bit, you know. The one day, read your word. The other day, literally, if you can play instrument, just make music. Just, or sing, or just put on a worship CD, and just, in that way, just to praise and worship, focus on you. The other time, or the next day, go for a run. I don't know, just go and enjoy nature, but really try and don't become stale in your way that you enter in, because it's often there where we think, oh Lord, you know, but where are you? But it's because we actually just put in press and play on the tape and not really living. Okay? And hold on to the word. It says the Lord inhabits the praises of your people. I'm so delighted. I bought a piano. Now, I think my neighbor is not necessarily so happy, but in any case, we've not had a visit yet, so I'm trusting for favor. But I just find myself sitting there, closing my eyes, up, and I'm giving my age away, but Michael W. Smith, I've gone through the archives, and I'm just playing music, and it's incredible how uplifting it is. And it's not because I am a concert pianist, everything, but it's just that act of coming and just saying, Lord, I am just expressing myself differently to you. I'm just expressing my thanksgiving to you for who I am in you differently. And it's so funny, but actually also a bit annoying. My little son is 2.5, and he comes running, you know, I don't touch two keys. And then he's just like, Mommy, Mommy, stop, stop, you know. And he's like, make this noise. And I'm like, go play with your friends or something, you know, because I just want to express myself. And there's a momentum. Who's the engineers in the house? Now, if you stand stationary, is there any momentum behind you? No. Okay? So as soon as you start walking, then there is a bit of momentum. Then if you pick up your speed, that momentum will increase. Okay? It's the same. The Lord made me aware of just, and I'm trying to get a hold of it. I understand that I missed it, that I put my faith and focus in the natural, and I understand that the eternal and that which is unseen is actually so much more real than what we can see and what is tangible. But it's as if I'm now at a place of, okay, Lord, show me how to walk this way. Show me how to keep sight of that which we already have in eternity as I'm passing through, if I can put it like that. And, no, I lost my thought on that one, so let's just say amen. He challenged me to say, move from a begging position to a position of praise. So ask yourself as well, as you enter in, do you come with like, just your list and your requirements or what you want or what is not done, versus, again, just simply focusing on who He is, okay? And that for me as well, it's as if, as I just started focusing on God and lifting up His name, exalting His name, it's as if the rest would actually fall in place. and you'll just get that insight that you need. Okay, I need to move on. Now, so I would enter through my gate with my little sign saying, you know, Lord, all glory be to you. Now, what does farmers do, or people that work the land, do they do it for fun? Maybe in this country there's lots of gardeners. But you actually have a specific purpose in mind if you plant. You assessed the plot, the sun movement, the shade, the conditions, the soil, the seed that you can plant there. There's a specific purpose in planting, okay? It's not, you know, people do it for fun, but if we think of this, our relationship in God, it was so beautiful having the dedication this morning. Each one of us has been fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a specific purpose and plan that He has set out for you, and through entering in and walking actively in this relationship with Him, through Him you can and you will walk effectively. And that just creates an expectation. I've come from a place where it was quite frustrating not knowing, Lord, where do you want us to move? Where? What must I do? You know, so many questions. Just to knowing, Lord, I know you've got a way, and as I walk with you, I will walk effectively in that way. You know what? The Lord's ways and His thoughts are so much higher and greater than ours. And I've actually stopped trying to assess whether I'm walking in it or not. I believe as I stay close to Him, because He says I will, I believe that I will walk effectively, and through His Spirit I will become aware of that which He wants to point out to me. And I can give testimony. There's times when I would just, you know, you'll be going about with the kids, and then all of a sudden you'll just say, phone this person, and you phone them, and yeah, they're on the point of doing really bad things. Or you will just go to the shop to buy one thing, and then I'll just know, no, actually walk over there, buy that, and go and give it to this person. And then it was a specific need, and it wasn't because I was like, before I went into Tesco, like, Lord, you know, what you will. It's just as I was walking with Him, as I was just in that state of happy relationship with Him, when the Holy Spirit told me to do something, I just, okay. And it was quite funny. I had to go from Tesco to Marks and Sparks and buy the most amazing gift. And I was like, really? You know, can't this be for myself? Type of thing. You know how we want to change what the Lord says? That's not good, but in any case. Now, coming back to what we plant, we plant with purpose, and just know that each one of us has been created with a specific purpose. Now, there's a few at the back. Can't see well. I've got two batteries in my hands. Okay, and so both are batteries, but they're different brands. But the one is Philips, and the other one is Kodak. Now, is there the function of a battery? Are all of you aware of the function of a battery?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay, no. And okay, so if we see this, we know, oh, okay, great, it's a battery, it gives power if you actually put it into a plant where the batteries are needed. Okay? But if I put them here, would they actually fulfill their purpose? No. Can they fulfill their purpose? Yes, but what needs to be done? They need to be in the machine or that which needs batteries. Now, we did this with the kiddies in Kiddies Church, and God just wanted me to remind all of us, we are in Christ. Now, both are batteries, even though they're the same, look different, they've got the same function. And I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged by the person sitting next to you. Often we find ourselves thinking, whoa, that person's got it together, you know, they are just on a roll for the Lord or whatever. Or even in your life, and we get discouraged by things, but it's things that we think in our head that is so not from the Lord, and it depresses us. Okay, I want to say to you today, each one of us, even though we look different, we have been fearfully and wonderfully created with a specific purpose. But it's crucial for us to understand and place ourselves in Christ. Okay? Because from that place, I love how Ephesians says, we are in Christ. It's a place where we experience His peace and rest, and from that place we can walk, that momentum comes. We can walk effectively that which He has called us to. And then there's a standing. But it's not a standing around. It's actually successfully withstanding the onslaughts of the enemy. Now, that was just very refreshing to see this. As we all take up daily our position in Christ, you know, we can walk knowing that, Lord, by Your grace and You will make me aware of what You want me to walk in as I just focus to keep myself positioned in You. And as I'm faced with an onslaught, I can withstand it effectively. Now, coming back to the becoming more aware of the reality of the invisible realm, what we actually give power to that which we agree with. Okay? Now, often, and there's one thing that I also felt when I was preparing, it's as if there's some of us, you fearing that you will, it's as if you might appear as if you're in denial if you actually put in your faith in Christ. Say, for instance, you have illness. No, faith is not whether you deny your circumstance. I acknowledge that I have an illness, but I choose to put my faith in the reality that by Christ's stripes I have been healed. Okay? And it's like anything. If somebody just tells it to you, you don't necessarily just trust them. Okay? It's hard to take hold of that truth. But I really believe as we are faithful daily to plug ourselves in, as we enter into that presence and that life that we have in Christ, the Word, the truth, will become alive through the Holy Spirit, and we will have an understanding, okay, Lord, but Your promises are actually superior in my life. So I am faced with this in the natural, but as I speak the Word, I put my faith in You as my healer, as my provider, whatever you are faced with. Now, that's definitely for me as well, area of growth, I would say, or where over and over again, I just felt the Holy Spirit telling me, your value, your life is in Me, and it's that which you have, the life that we have in eternity. The rest you have function and you walk in it, but how I walk is being determined by what I know, what is in store for us in the heavenlies. And it's, you know, the testimonies, again, the testimony giving that authority that it will happen again. For instance, if you have a need and where unbelief has entered in, just go and listen or go and read through the New Testament for testimonies of healings. It's as if they happened left, right, and center where the presence of Jesus was. Okay? So really just build yourself up in the Spirit. I really believe we come to a place where you're not in denial and you're standing and it's like, oh, but what I think so, where you know that this is the truth, this is God, Lord, that You are ultimate authority. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, there's a fear of appearing to be living in denial that's associated to unbelief. And I'm not denying my circumstances, like, no, you know, I'm missing a limb or something, but you acknowledge your circumstance, but you actually speak to it, the Word of God, the authority, okay? Now, I also thought just that the Lord wants to encourage us to say there's power not in numbers, but in unity, okay? Yes, of course, we want the numbers to come, we want to share this great gift of salvation that we have with others, but we must focus as we have a relationship with Him and as we enter in to have that unity, that we will come to that place of agreeing with what He says. It says in the Word, where one will put 1,000 to flight, where 2, 10,000. So it's exponentially that growth, that release will take place as we become unified in Christ. Okay. And just be careful. Fear it attacks the foundation of our relationship with God, which is our faith. And I asked you earlier to write down what you fear. It's not to, it's just to take it and to say, okay, Holy Spirit, this is a reality to me. I, for instance, realized I have a massive fear of lack, you know, and I would, I was at a place where I would get so cross with my husband. I mean, the weird thing, he wouldn't even know about, you know, about this internal conflict that his wife is having. But I would find myself being emotional towards him and, you know, oh, you know, just wanting to think, but why did you do this or do that? And then when I actually realized it, the Lord worked it out to myself. It's a fear of lack that I'm experiencing, and therefore I love it. Every time I think my husband has done something, the Lord just brings me back to myself. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're here again. Yes, I did. You know, so it's not, it's actually, it usually doesn't have anything to do with the person. It's a, it's something in you where you've got a misunderstanding, okay? And, you know, I was just so grateful that the Lord could show me, and I was at a place where I'm like, okay, I actually realized, but it's a misunderstanding of who you are that I have, and therefore I'm trusting you to come and meet me in this place. Okay, now, when I started growing, okay, remember you grow with purpose, but, oh, weeds. Weeds need nothing, and they flourish. That is so annoying. I mean, usually, you know, you plant something and you're like, okay, can we see a little shoot? And there's nothing. And then there's like, you know, a weed that's knee high. And I'm like, this is really annoying. It was raining, the sun isn't shining, you know. And I used to be so discouraged by this weed that would just, you know, pop up everywhere. And I came to a point where I just realized, you know what? Focus on what you want to grow, and as the weed comes, simply pull them out and discard them, okay? Where, and you can't leave them. You can't leave them because their roots are so strong and they just shoot up, okay? So that, if I thought of the weeds, that just looking at today kind of brings me back to the fear or the unbelief. If you experience that, just remove it. Just trust the Holy Spirit through His revelation to give you the grace to remove that and focus on that which you want to grow. I love the Ephesians 3, 17 verse 21, where it says, may Christ through your faith dwell in your hearts, that you may know the love of Christ, and that you will understand that the power of Him that is in work with us is able to do superabundantly, far over and above all that we can ask Him, to His glory. Okay, so really we want to focus as we in Christ, that that peace that supports understanding, that a place of knowing who we are in Him, that we will grow from that place. Okay, you can also read Colossians 3 verse 15 to 17. It's the same concept. And let the peace from Christ rule in your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word have its home and dwell in you. Okay, and again, it will lead you to praises in God. Last one for what do I want to grow? Isaiah 43 verse 10 to 11 says, you are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know me, believe me, and remain steadfast to me, and understand that I am He. I, the whole time, as I was just, oh Lord, I'm here, and I just want to have a relationship with you. I know there's benefits, but I'm not here for the benefits. It's just so amazing that I can draw near to you as the living God and walk with you. And the whole time you just told me, I want you to show you I am. I want you to show you I am. And it brings us back to that place. How do we enter in, or how do we draw near? We draw near knowing that God is who He says He is, and that He's faithful to do what He says He will do. Okay. Now, so I have my little seeds that I grow with intention. Now, if I put the seeds next to the box, it's going to do nothing. It's probably just going to lie there and deteriorate as the British rain, you know, damages the package. I actually have to take it out. There's specific things that needs to happen for me to start this growing process. And the same, very simple truth, application versus intention. You can have the best of intentions, it's going to end in nothing. If you stay intentional, you're going to stay intentional. And the frustration is probably going to increase. And you just allow that weed to come up that will just distract from what the Lord wants to do in your life. So I want to encourage you, that which the Word says and that which you feel the Lord tells you, just do it. Okay? Now, what I loved mostly about the garden, and it's really, I think if you just ask friends that come around, they hopefully they will agree. But in me, it's not in the entering in, it's not in the, you know, working the land. I love all those things, but sharing the harvest. Oh my word, if I've got a friend that comes around and the flowers, you smell the sweet peas from my house, and I can just say, listen, here you go, go and cut yourself a bouquet of flowers. I cannot tell you. I get such a kick from that, and I think my husband thinks I'm a bit weird, but it's truly in that, it's just letting somebody go there and help yourself. I love it. And it's as if I'm becoming aware of God saying, you know what, it's so much more blessed to give than to receive. And not just things, that which we have received from Him, our relationship with Him. Share this. It's as if it's the box with, yeah, this great, our most precious gift that we've ever received. Don't keep it for yourself. In ways that He will need you to, just share it with those that He bring over your bar. Now, that was my account. I want you to write down Genesis 15 to Genesis 22. It's basically the life of Abram. And I just thought I must go and read that while, you know, I was just walking this walk during this year with the Lord. And it's amazing. It starts off, Genesis 15 verse 1 is the Lord starting to speak, and He says, fear not, I am. Okay, so He's speaking to Abram, and He's like, fear not, I am. And then they have conversation. And then Abram actually responds, and he asks the Lord, but what can you give me? Since I'm childless at this moment, you know, and I'm old already, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, and the Lord gave him His promise of His son. Now, in our relationship with God, He communicates with us, and there's words that He gives us for specific things in our life. And that word, that promise is the thing that will stand. The word says, the flowers will fade and the grass, or the grass will fade and the flowers will wither away, whatever, but the word of the Lord will stand. Sorry, I'm confusing the first bit. But basically, it's the word of the Lord that we want in our life, because that is what will stand into eternity. Now, the Lord spoke to him and He said, and then it says, and Abram believed. But then Abram continued and he said, but Lord, how shall I know? Okay? And basically the Lord told him, Abram, bring me an offering. And then the Lord made Abram to sleep. And God basically had covenant with Himself. So this promise that He gave Abram, He sealed it by Himself. So it will come to pass. It cannot not come to pass. And that is the beauty of what we have in Christ. We must simply come and accept that. He has done all the rest. Then I cannot, the promise will come to pass. I must simply choose whether I want this or not. Okay? Now, what I love about this is how God communicates, how Abram receives it, but how he also reasons with God then. How he says, but Lord, how will this come to pass? And I want to encourage you, in your life, don't just take something. Just say, but Lord, explain it to me. Or just reason with the Lord. Okay? And in this place, it's incredible where Abram started, where he's like, okay, you'll hear what the Lord says, and then they try to take matters into their own hands. But if we move to chapter 21, 22, where he says to Abram, Abram, now take your only son and go and sacrifice him. The response is, so Abram rose quickly, prepared, and began the trip as what is told him. Now that is what is just amazing. I believe as we have a relationship with God, He loves it as we come and reasons with Him. But as He comes and settles things in our hearts, we come to that place where as the word is spoken, there is immediate obedience. Okay? And it's going to be, what's amazing for me is Abram still just one son. God told him, okay, go and kill this son. And he was like, here we go. So you could see there was an understanding that he was trusting the Lord. So even though my mind is freaking out now, I'm doing what you're asking me because I understand that you are Lord. Okay? And then Isaac was like, Dad, but where's the sheep? And Abraham just said, God will provide. He had the altar up, the wood was laid, his son was bound, he was standing like this. And then only the angel of the Lord said, Abram, wait. And he turned around and there was the sheep. That actually blows my mind, that it just feels to me his understanding of God's faithfulness is something that I desire. And I believe as we walk in relationship with God, I truly believe as we grow in our understanding of his faithfulness, of who he is, and as we just come and continually enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, we will walk and we will also see that growth in our life, not for our own benefit, but for the glory of the Lord. And that is my prayer for us. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you that you are faithful and that you are able. And I thank you that today I can just pray your word over us and we declare we have expectation for that. Father, to God our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that you may grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of our heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. Amen. Yes, that's it from me. If there's any specific prayer needs, I would love to pray for you. Just know that the whole time as I was preparing, it just felt as if the focus is just your relationship with your Father. And I pray as we leave this place and as we actually walk, there's a few things. I want two things. If I can ask you, remember there's power in the unity. And I actually felt as congregation, a faith goal for us as we prepare ourselves, we're coming to the end of one year, entering into another. I want to ask you to let's be faithful in entering in daily, the way you enter and how long you enter, that's up to you. But can we enter in daily into the presence of the Lord and just have that expectation to meet with him in that place? And I have such an excitement for his heart. If I go back to the first, Lord, thank you that we can say your heart and what is pleasing and acceptable to you is you wish all men to be saved and to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the truth. Father, thank you that as we enter in day and as we have that expectation to meet from you, that we can have, we can trust to release this over this area. Your salvation, Father, that it will spring from the ground so that we as your people will come to the place of perceiving, recognizing, discerning, and knowing precisely and correctly your truth. And may we freely give that, Lord, into each area where it's needed. In the name of Jesus, amen.